Welcome, everyone. I am Bob Wurzelbacher, the director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, and this is our video podcast series that we call Being Pro-Life. Each month, we discuss a different topic in the Respect Life arena. We'll hear a personal story from someone deeply affected by that issue, and finally, we'll share ways that you can get involved. Today, we are very excited to introduce to our audience a new chaplain for Deaf Ministry for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, Father Charles Onumegbu. Father Charles, welcome to the Archdiocese.
Thank you very much, Bob.
So a little quick background for the audience. So we had a priest in the Archdiocese. His name was Father Bill Wysong. He resided at St. Rita's School for the Deaf here in Cincinnati for many years, and he served there and provided ASL Mass, American Sign Language Mass, every Sunday until he was too ill to do it anymore. And then he passed away in 2021. So there has not been an ASL Mass at St. Rita's now for over 3 years. And then after he passed away, our office, the Office for Persons with Disabilities here in the Archdiocese, started bringing in a priest who was deaf himself, Father Mike Depchick. And he celebrated Mass and reconciliation for the deaf community. He just was able to come in a few times per year in 2021 and 2022. We even offered a couple of annual retreats for the deaf community. But then he moved to Baltimore last summer. So since then, we have simply been able to continue to offer an ASL Mass with interpretation about once a month at St. Christopher in Vandalia. And we've been praying for a better solution to respond to the needs of the deaf community for some time. And then seemingly out of nowhere, but no doubt, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, for sure, we heard from Father Charles. So let's introduce you to the audience. Let's pick up the story from your perspective. Tell us about yourself and how you grew up and when you got interested in deaf ministry.
Thank you very much, Bob. First of all, my name is Charles. I come from Nigeria, and I have a very big family of 11. I happen to be the last in the family with five sisters and six brothers. So my story growing up as a kid was very interesting because I used to watch a TV program where there was a woman professor who every Sunday teaches on TV science. So I got interested. I was so surprised to see the woman sign on TV. So I joined the junior seminary and became that's high school. So the story is very interesting because after my high school, I entered the university to study environmental engineering. Then several times I met with the nuns and the daughters of the Providence for the Deaf who came from Italy in my diocese to construct a new community. So one of the nuns was Sister Maura. The other was Sister Claudia. All of them were Italians. One saw me and said, "You look like a seminarian." Said, "Yes, before I was a seminarian, but now I'm studying at the university." He said, "Let's become a priest." I said, "Never mind, I don't have any intention of becoming a priest." She now said, "There in Italy, they have a family of about 10 children. Three became priests, three became nuns, and the others got married." I was so shocked because it was difficult for me to believe that, yes, in a family like that, there could be about three priests. I said, "Okay." He said, "Please write an application letter. I'll bring it to Italy and give it to the priest who help us the deaf also." So finally, he brought my letter to Italy, gave it to the superior of a congregation, Little Mission for the Deaf. The priests were very happy because now they have new seminarians. Finally, I was sent to the Philippines to study philosophy, then my no fish yet, and finally to Italy to study theology. So this is the story so far about my life. Then I became a deacon in Italy, and finally, in 2016, I became a priest for the deaf.
So, Father Charles, the reason why, I don't think you shared, the reason why you were not thinking at all about being a priest is because your brother was already in the seminary and you didn't think you could have more than one priest in a family. That's why she told you about the big family, right?
That's true. That's true.
Right.
Yes, because I have an elder brother who is also a priest. So I said, in my family, we can be two priests in my family. Then the nun sister Maor said, no, you can't. Because in Italy, there is a family with three priests, and one of the three priests became even a bishop.
My father's family, my grandfather is the oldest of, I don't remember, I think maybe 14 children, and three of them became sisters in my own father's family. Okay, so you became a priest. Your brother is a priest as well, and you joined a religious order that served the deaf in Italy.
Yes.
Okay, so then what year was that, and how long were you serving with that before you came to Cincinnati?
First of all, I went to the Philippines when I was 24 years as a seminarian. So now I'm more or less 40 years. So you know how many years I've worked with the deaf. So when I was 24, now 40 years. So I've lived my life with the deaf, teaching catechism at high schools. Then finally, when I became a priest for the deaf in Italy, I continued with my catechism, sacraments, my life with the deaf.
And then how long were you and what all did you do with them before you decided to come to Cincinnati?
Yeah, about 8 years. Because I arrived at Cincinnati in the 24th of January.
So tell us about that. What happened that made you start thinking about coming somewhere else?
Okay, what happened in my congregation was because of the fact that our priests in Italy, the numbers were so small, and we have only few priests in the world. So the Vatican wrote to our congregation to look for other congregation to join. Maybe a congregation that has the same mission with the deaf. But we looked, and there was no congregation very close that has the same mission with my own congregation. So the only congregation was the Rogationist. So we had a dialogue with the Vatican commissioner, came to talk to all of us if we want to join their own congregation or maybe look for other congregations or dioceses. I decided, okay, I'm going to maybe join a diocese that has the same deaf apostolate, deaf mission. But the first time I checked on internet, I wrote who for the deaf or diocese with a deaf apostolate. The first was the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. Then I checked again. I saw St. Rita's who for the deaf. I checked, kept checking. I saw the children, the teachers, and said, okay. So I wrote the email address I saw on internet. Then I got a reply 2 days after from Father David, who introduced himself as the priest personnel in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. Oh, he started communication.
So you just did a search and Cincinnati came up first. You saw a school for the deaf,
Yes, three.
deaf. You write an email.
Yes.
Did Father David sound excited? What did he sound like?
Excited. He said in his email, "Father Charles, I would like to talk to you on Zoom to know who you are." So we scheduled an appointment on Zoom and we talked. He was very, very excited. He said the story of St. Rita's School for the Deaf is very unique because the school of St. Rita belongs to the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. And he told me about the priest before, Father Wiseau, who died. And also that the Archbishop is aware of the need of the deaf in the Archdiocese. I would like to, talk to me or meet me. He said, okay, I'll visit the United States, then have the opportunity to talk with the Archbishop. Last year, I visited and had the opportunity to talk with the Archbishop, Father David, then Lisa, then Paul, and other deaths here in Cincinnati.
Right. I remember that. I received an email from the Archbishop last spring, I guess, in 2023, saying, heard from a priest in Rome who born in Nigeria who knew ASL and wanted to come to Cincinnati. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. Lisa and I, we came to this meeting. We invited the deaf community to come as well because we wanted them to meet you. And we also, I didn't know. You said you knew ASL, but you hadn't been in the United States, right? So I just wanted to be sure that your version of ASL was understood by the deaf community here, and it was. They had no problem understanding you, but that was important, and they were so excited, and we started the paperwork to bring you to the United States, and that took a little while because that was last June, and you arrived here, as you said, on January 24th. Now, we record this at the end of February. You've been here about a month, and we're still trying to get your social security number.
Yes.
A lot of things are dependent upon you getting your social security number. So you don't have a driver's license yet. We still have to drive you around, but soon you will be free to do all these things. So the very first thing, we've restarted those masses at St. Rita's School for the Deaf and at St. Christopher. So tell us about those masses you're doing now.
First of all, I lived in the Philippines for 5 years as a seminarian, then transferred to Italy. And in Italy, we use the sign list in Italian, lingua segni dei sordi. What it means, sign language for the deaf in Italy. So my ASL together with the list has really helped me. But coming to the United States, definitely, I have to erase my list. My first day with the deaf was so difficult because I want to sign one word in ASL. Then this comes in. But I tried to continue to do my best to make sure that at least I was able to celebrate the mass that day. Very interesting because all the time I've been a priest, I use list. Only when I go to Nigeria for maybe holiday, I celebrate the mass in ASL. So now that I'm here at St. Rita, I try to, switch over to ASL because wherever you are, the language of that particular place helps you to communicate very well. Now, at the first time at St. Rita's, it was very interesting, very surprised for me because I met about 35 deaf first Sunday. I celebrated Mass. Then I went to St. Christopher last Saturday. I also met some group of deaf. Hopefully, we can improve both my ASL, then also improve and up in the death in the archdiocese.
In addition to going out for confession and mass on Saturdays and Sundays, what are some of the other things you're hoping to do and reach out with the deaf community?
First of all, I hope to organize catechism for the deaf because I know in the deaf culture, if a deaf doesn't see any priest or interpreter, the deaf will just stay at home. So I want to make sure that, please, the deaf can know again the catechism, can go to church, then retreats, seminars, so many activities for the deaf. I hope to help to bring it back again in the archdiocese here.
All right, well, I know a retreat is coming up, but we do have, because we already had it scheduled, we have Father Sean from Boston. He's a deaf priest in Boston. He's coming out to do a retreat for the deaf community in a few months, and I know you will be there. But I guess after that, you'll be offering retreats and other things yourself.
Yeah.
What are some other things you're looking forward to starting and hoping to do with our deaf community here in Cincinnati?
Well, first of all, the deaf here and all over the world, the deaf, the love, bonding, staying together. So I want to, like, bring back that culture again of staying together, maybe after the mass at St. Rita or St. Christopher, where they can stay, maybe have kind of a game, so that they will not feel bored, because having a very cool activity for them helps the deaf to forget about their worries and also their sorrows. That's one. Then I also want to help the deaf here, what the ones in St. Rita and also St. Christopher, to develop this leadership attitude, because in they can choose, for example, who is their president, then the secretary. They can start again their normal life, because I know after the death of Father Wison, it was difficult to gather the debt. But now, my main worries is to first gather the debt, then open up different activities which can help them improve in their daily activities.
So before you arrived, we were really encouraged, at least every deanery, if not every family, to have somewhere in their family of parish or in their deanery a mass that has ASL interpretation, right? So that the deaf have traveled so far to get the mass. So with you now here, it's great to have a priest, particularly for confession, right? So that the deaf can receive the sacrament of confession, because you really wouldn't simply offer an ASL interpreter to be in the confessional with you, right? So that having the priest know sign language is crucial. And the archdiocese is very large. So I would say we can't expect everyone who wants to attend Mass to travel, 50, 60, 70, 80 miles to go to wherever you happen to be every week. Right, they should be able to find a much closer mass. So it's still important to offer every Sunday a mass with at least ASL interpretation scattered throughout the archdiocese. So I do want to encourage parishes, deaneries especially, to do that and start offering that, even though you are here, Father Charles, because you're only one person offering one mass on Saturday and one on Sunday. And for some people, that's a long way to travel. Anything you want to say either to the deaf community or the hearing community about your presence or how they might help or how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, as I said before, I live at the Incarnation Parish in Bethlehem. It's very easy to reach me. If the hearing people, if they have any deaf in their family and the deaf needs kind of spiritual help, got confession, wants to talk to a priest, they can always reach me. Then I can schedule to meet the deaf. Then for the deaf, it's not time for all of us to gather together. Then at least I understand the deaf culture very well. Then try to see how we can trust each other, then develop, and also build a very, very nice deaf community with good deaf culture in the archdiocese. It's very, very, very important for me that the deaf here feel very happy that now they have a priest who can understand them, who can listen to them, and above all, can celebrate Mass for them.
So what is the easiest way for a deaf person to contact you?
I will leave my cell phone number in the newsletter and also my email address so that if any deaf or even hearing wants to contact me, person can. Also, can reach the Office for Respect for Life at the Chancellery. So it's very easy to contact me.
And you might not even know that the Office for Persons with Disabilities has a direct email, and that is simply opd@catholicaoc.org. We'll put that on the screen because Onimegbu might be a little hard for some people to spell. Until you have that in your computer. opd@catholicaoc.org. That's the Office for Persons with Disabilities email address. That will get to Father Charles as well if you want to get a hold of him. All right, well, thank you, Father Charles, for your answer to the call, for trusting the Lord and bringing you all the way to Cincinnati to continue serving the deaf. We are so excited to have you here in the Archdiocese. Any last words you want to say to any of us about what you're hoping to do or how people can reach out to you?
For me, whatever wants to meet me or talk to me, send me email. Maybe call me on phone 326-467-4682. That's my cell phone number. Or send me an email, shosholeso@yahoo.com. But very important, I will send out my contacts through the newsletter. People can see me and they'll contact me. And for all who are watching, that room where I live is nice, and I've met very good people who have helped me to live very nice. The pastor where I live, Father Brian, has been very, very good. Also, Father Joseph, then Father Chibwese, who is a friend and also a brother, have helped me to settle here. Then, thanks to Bob, who is the boss, he has really helped me also doing some contacts for me. Thanks to also Lisa, she has been very also wonderful. And thanks to all the people who have helped me since I arrived here, make sure that I live well. I hope my ASL will come back, because before I signed, I lived in Rome for 11 years. So it's so difficult to forget my list. But in few months' time, I know it to leave the list, then face truly. Very happy to be here, and I hope the deaf and the hearing community, through your prayers and through my prayers also, will live well and also become more rooted in God's love and peace.
Great. All right. Well, thank you, Father Charles. Thank you for spending time with us this morning and being on our podcast.
Thank you very much, Bob. God bless you always.
And I want to thank all of our viewers and listeners for tuning in on this episode of our Being Pro-Life series. Head to the website to view the links talked about in this episode at www.catholiccincinnati.org/being-pro-life. Thank you again for joining us today. I look forward to being with you next time.